Welcome back, everyone. TJ Eisenhart here, and this is The Next Stage. This week on The Next Stage, me and Tyler were beyond thrilled to have on two-time Leadville champion, five-time jersey winner at Belgian Waffle Ride, math teacher, and a mom. This week, we had on Larissa Connors. Larissa Connors is someone with an amazing story, an amazing outlook on life, someone who is always positive, but who is also realistic and sees through. We're super excited to have her on and listen to her point of view and what she has to say. It was exciting to hear her story, and I hope you guys enjoy it just as much as we did. Thanks again for listening to The Next Stage. All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Larissa, for joining us this week on The Next Stage. We're so excited to have you.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be here.
This is a podcast about exciting and fun and positive people who are, you know, exploring the next stage and thinking of our next guest. I couldn't wait to have you on and for everyone to kind of hear your story.
I'm honored that you thought of me.
So those who don't know, Larissa is one of the most amazing mountain bikers in the world. Wow. I would say she's won Leadville twice, 2017 and 2018. That's an incredible accomplishment. While doing that, while being a high school math teacher, yeah. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So can you please share your story on how you got started into cycling
I always rode mountain bikes as a kid, but I didn't know about bike racing. So I would just like try to climb this trail behind my parents' house as a teenager every day during the summer. And it was really rocky and I was on a really crappy bike, but the challenge, you know, like that, this thing, I can't do it, but one day I want to be able to do it. It drove me to like, just keep trying to go up this trail in Annandale State Park. And then when I went to college, my now husband, who then was just a boy on the cycling team, he convinced me to join the road biking team. And so I started road racing, thought that was really fun. And then when we moved to Southern California for his job, there's not a lot of road races down there, just crits. So then I said, why not mountain bike? And I picked up mountain bike racing and kind of accidentally became good at it.
Wow. You said the park you started riding in was called Annandale?
Annandale, yeah.
And that's in Santa Rosa, yeah?
That's in Sonoma County, yeah. Peter and Levi Liefheimer.
And Tyler Williams.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah. I actually live, maybe 500 meters from Annandale.
Shut up. Where?
Yes. Off of Benita Road.
Give the world your address. That's where my parents live. That's exactly where I grew up.
Really? Yeah. So that's where I live right now.
Face.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Small world, huh?
Oh, I grew up on Hillsborough Circle.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Nice. Oh my gosh. You know how you can get onto Canyon Trail by like going up that neighborhood?
Yeah. Park Trail.
Yeah. That's how I got, not Park Trail. Like if you go through my parents' neighborhood, if you go up Skycrest, okay, and dump onto the middle of Canyon. That's what I grew up doing every day in the summer.
Right on, yeah. Okay, so I know where you're talking about where you started the challenge.
Yeah, the challenge. Although it was Spring Creek Trail.
She found the love.
Yeah.
Spring Creek Trail, and back then it was much harder than it is now. Let's just say there were more rocks.
Yeah, that's scary to think about. That's where TJ and I were just talking about how I don't have a mountain bike right now, actually. And that was where my mountain bike died on Spring Creek Trail, unfortunately.
Oh, no. So, hey, yeah. if you're between the height of 5'5 and 5'10, you could borrow my husband's bike. He loves giving out his bikes. And by
really?
The way, I like offering his bikes to people.
Huh. And that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not telling you, Larissa is like the nicest person ever.
Oh, I don't.
My gosh, already offering her husband's bike away.
Well, because my husband used to work for Felt, and he's a design engineer, and so he designed the bike that I raced Leadville on, and it was a brand new bike.
Are you kidding?
What's that? That's yeah, amazing. So it was like he totally overhauled the Felt Edict. And the year that I raced Leadville, I actually wasn't going to race. I was having some like really deep, crappy personal issues and like didn't know if I was going to walk away from bike racing. And eventually my main sponsor said, you need to pull your head out of the sand, get your life together, set some goals, and like be proactive about like being, you know, like getting your life back. So I said, okay, fine, I'll race Leadville. And Felt said, hey, can you race Leadville to help us launch the Edict? Because it hadn't been launched yet. It was brand new, super exciting project, lighter and stiffer than the Specialized Epic, like just a great cross country full suspension bike. So I was like, yeah, that's a great goal. Like that'll help me get, you know, have something to like look forward to. So I poured myself into training to win that race. And then I got to do it on this bike that Brendan was so proud of because he did so much work and he did such a great job on it. So I was like really, extra really special. Cool. Right.
And that was 2017.
Wow.
That was in 2017. And that's why I love like offering his bikes. He doesn't work at Felt anymore because they don't make mountain bikes anymore. But all this time I've been like, oh, you got to ride Brendan's bike. Like the Decree, he designed the Decree too. So I'm always loaning it to people like, you got to ride the Decree. It's such a great bike because I love it so much. Like I want other people to experience the joy of descending on a Decree.
Yeah.
And climbing. Yeah. So that's why I loan his bikes out to people. And it's like an old habit that I will never break.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you grew up in Stone County.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. That's yeah. I mean, the mountain biking
here
is hard. I feel like for me anyways, it's tough.
It's pretty great. So, I've raced in a couple places around the world doing the World Cup thing back before I was doing ultra endurance. And I think the riding in Annadel is a lot like the riding in the south of France. So when I went and did the World Cup in La Bresse, it was super challenging the course, but riding it, I was like, hey, this is just like Annadel. This is kind of cool. Like anyone who rides in Annadel, they're prepared to go race the World Cup.
Yeah, well, that's good to know because yeah, it's hard. It's hard here. It's rocky and technical.
Yeah. For sure.
So how many years were you on the World Cup scene?
Only like two or three. So I found mountain biking kind of later in life compared to most World Cup racers. I graduated college. I started working. I was coaching cross country and track and riding my bike all the time. Like I'd ride to school, then I'd run 6 miles with the kids, then I would ride my bike home, then I'd change shoes and go mountain biking. And then I started mountain bike racing, and after a year or two I liked it so much that I figured like, why not get a coach? Like this could be fun. So I like talked to CTS and they hooked me up with my coach Matt Freeman, and he was like, you are a freak, you need to stop overdoing it all the time. And like it was through him like calming me down and reducing the amount of activity I was doing that I got better. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know, 27 at that point that I started racing World Cups. So then I did it for 2 or 3 years and I really enjoyed it a lot, but I was on the Olympic long list for Rio and it was a huge long shot. Like I had only been racing World Cups for 2 years at that point. So like I kind of expected that I wasn't going to go, but it was kind of a cool goal to work for. So I quit my job, went all in, and then shit hit the fan, bad stuff happened, and then I walked away and found ultra endurance. So kind of got to do all of the things in mountain biking.
Oh, okay. That's yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What was the draw to ultra endurance? You said that you went through some hard things. What was that draw towards leaving the World Cup scene to go do these?
So people always told me, like before I was even racing World Cups, people always told me, you need to race Leadville. You got to race Leadville. Like you do really well. But I always thought like, oh, that's something I'll do later in life, because the older you are, the better you are at like handling those like long, painful races. So I've always read like ultra marathons, all that, like age is actually beneficial. Like young people have a harder time than older people. So I was like, well, in my late 30s, I'll do Leadville, whatever. Like I kept pushing it off. Something really unfortunate happened with someone managing my team that is like kind of too painful to talk about. But I used my bike after that to like instead of feeling the emotional pain, I used my bike to put myself in so much physical pain that I couldn't think or like feel that emotional pain. And so like going out and riding 150 miles by myself or 200 miles by myself, like that was how I coped with what I was going through. And because I enjoy riding for such long periods of time, that kind of was the draw to be like, okay, maybe I'll try Leadville now because I'm already doing these crazy long rides. Like I'm already want to do Belgian Waffle Ride and all that. So why not tackle this next hurdle in my life? Like why not use this unfortunate situation to redirect to something good?
And so at that period,
wow. And it was
at that period you went out on your own. You left 2016 and went to do your own program, correct?
Well, actually it wasn't. So I was still on 20, I think it was 2020 at that point. Okay. So I was still on 2020 through my entire career. Like this is the first year I haven't been on that team.
Okay.
So they supported me. Scott Tedrow, actually, because he was the title sponsor of that team. He is actually the one who was, you know, there for me and like helped me get through all that stuff. And he supported me when I was racing World Cup. And I had all these great Olympic ambitions, but then he also supported me when I was not racing. And when I was going through all this stuff, he was always there. He always saw the value in me as an athlete and a human. And he's the one who said, get your head out of the sand, find some goals and like, you know, look to the future, stop dwelling on this thing that happened. So that was just huge for me, like so beneficial. I'm so lucky that I had him in my life and that I had that, the support of that team behind me during that time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to have, I think that's something that a lot of teams miss is the connecting the person with the performance,
human
performance side of it too. And when you have that situation, it makes it very rewarding.
Yeah, the human side.
Yes.
Yeah, the human. That's my favorite side. Yeah. That's my favorite
side. Robot side?
So
your favorite side is not the robot side?
No, man, I can't stand that. So what's the team you're on this year?
So now I'm on the Juliana Volley Factory Gravel Team, which is actually managed by my good friend Phil Mooney, who lives down in Marin County. He runs the men's, it used to be Mark Pro Strava, now it's the Volley Factory men's road team. They're like a continental road team. And he really likes that he wanted to start a women's team. So this year he said, I'll get three or four women together and they'll do a full gravel calendar. And so that's what we were supposed to do if we had been racing. So we're on Juliana Quincy's, and Volley has been a great supporter, and helping get us out. Well, they were going to get us to a bunch of races, but we all know what happened with that. So, yeah. So yes. I'm so on this team. It's been great, but I just want to race my bike.
Yeah. I can relate.
Oh my gosh. what have you been doing to, anything you've been doing to like cope with that? You know, that extra energy of wanting to race, or you put in all this training during the winter and all this hype and excitement to go to all these races. As an athlete, you're also a new mom. So you're someone who had I'll also add that to the pile of training and mentally. Cause I've also just had a baby, just same as you. And so it's like, I know what that's like, except for I wasn't the mom. How did you deal? I mean, that's what I wanted to ask you is how did you, it's so hard because I feel like we wake up every day and we're professional cyclists. You go out and you ride and you can train, do this. And then all of a sudden you have this joyous little gift in your life, but have you found a rhythm? Are you waking up at this time training from here to there? I mean, I find that when baby's born, it's kind of like, all right, they're priority one, obviously. Yeah. And then it's just like, whatever other training I can get in.
Yeah. So I'm actually really lucky. This is terrible, but I'm really lucky about coronavirus because I was teaching full time in winter. And so my plan was that I was going to teach full time and train full time to go back and reclaim my Leadville title. I had to skip Leadville last year because I was 9 months pregnant, which I mean, I thought about racing it, but I'm pretty sure
that's a reasonable excuse.
The doctors said
I can't believe. I can't believe you even thought about racing it.
So I was going to go back and like experiment with the mom watts, you know, because they say that mm-hmm. after you have a baby, you're faster. And so I was like really stoked about that and whatever. Like I wanted to take that, my title back. And then I was going to retire. So this was going to be my last year racing. But then.
I had no idea.
When push came to shove, training and having a new baby and working full time was actually way too much. And then on top of that, we were like trying to finish renovating our house to sell it because we have always wanted to move back to Sonoma County. And we were in Orange County back then because all the grandparents are here and we want the kid to have a relationship with the grandparents. So we were doing all these things and then COVID hit. And I was so lucky because instead of waking up at 5:30 and riding to school, working full time, doing my intervals on the way home, like trying to be present for the baby, trying to do these house projects. Instead, all of a sudden I was home all the time and I could be hanging out with her and working. So I like, there hasn't really been a rhythm because things just keep changing. Like every couple months, things, something changes. And now, like now I'm on summer. So now I wake up, I go do my ride. She usually isn't even awake before I leave because my baby sleeps a lot. I'm really lucky.
Yeah.
And then my husband's not really working right now. He works 4 hours a week. He's looking for work, but it's hard in the economy. Yeah. So he hangs out with her or we live with my in-laws right now. So they hang out with her too. So I come home from my ride and she has someone that cares about her with her. And I can kind of do my training in the morning when I would want to do it anyway. So I kind of feel pretty spoiled.
That's awesome. You found your balance.
Yeah. Well, for now, I just took a job.
It constantly changes. That's right. For sure.
And I just took a job teaching at Petaluma High School for next school year, but I don't know what next year is going to look like because I still kind of want to take back that Leadville title. But my plan was to retire, so I don't know. Everything is so uncertain.
Wow. Well, congratulations on returning to Sonoma County.
Oh, thanks. It's so great here.
Yeah.
It's so great. You know, those Orange County people, I mean, the cycling scene there is incredible. I love them very much. But the regular people.
Hey, Skyline's phenomenal.
But the regular people down there are crazy. They, like, don't want to wear masks.
Yeah. They're... yeah.
They're just going wild.
I think that's a little bit the SoCal culture, I think.
Yeah, they're living on the edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't take away my liberty to not wear a mask.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. So with everything, I mean, yeah, you said everything's pretty uncertain and races. I mean, even for myself, and I know with Tyler, you know, people can say that this race is happening or this race is happening in November or September, whatever, but what's your training looking like and your goal setting for, I mean, you said like, you're kind of up in the air of whether you wanted to, you're supposed to retire this year.
Well, I have the world's best, most understanding coach ever. And I think he has the goal of now of Belgian Waffle Ride as like the main thing that we're working towards since everything else has essentially been canceled. And like, I don't think there's any way that any events are happening in September. So like Marathon Nationals would have been the thing I would go to, but I don't think it's going to happen. So like we have that goal, but he's just kind of adapting as things change. And we thought Leadville was going to happen for a long time. So I was still training for that. But that's obviously not happening now. So I don't really set, like, I trust him 100% that he is giving me workouts that are going to get me ready for whatever we end up accomplishing. And he has his finger on like what's going on in the world, like what events are happening and when they're happening. And I kind of leave that to him. So for me, it's like, I enjoy the process of training so much. Like I enjoy the satisfaction of nailing an interval workout so much that it doesn't really feel that upsetting that like, oh, this race was canceled. It's hard, but it hasn't been like crushing. Because I can still go out and nail an interval workout and feel that accomplishment. And like, it's almost as exciting to me as winning a race.
I can relate. And I think like the people who can like think that way about their training have had an easier time through this period because you're racing yourself.
Yeah.
you know, the competition is with yourself at this point.
And yep.
If you can continue to, like, you know, focus like that, then I guess you don't have to like get stuck in the rut of like, oh, well, when's this race happening? Cause yeah, we're all just guessing and you know, clutching at nothing at this point.
Yep.
You know, with races.
And it's kind of extra cool this year for me because so before I had the baby, I went to race La Ruta in Costa Rica and I got rhabdomyolysis. I was in the hospital in Costa Rica. I almost died. I like came back and I couldn't ride my bike at all for 3 or 4 weeks. I like literally, then I got pregnant and didn't know it. So then 3 months went by where I thought that I still was suffering from rhabdo, but that's not why I was suffering. But I basically lost all of my fitness. Like I was taken back to square freaking one, like no training for 3 months. And then I didn't train for the whole rest of that year because when I found out what was wrong with me, that I was pregnant, then I was like, well, I'm not going to be doing intervals. Like I know that like Sonia Looney and Laura were still out there training when they were pregnant and that's awesome for them. But for me, it was like, I had already put myself in this horrible situation where I gave myself this health problem of rhabdo by riding my bike too hard. So I was like, I'm just going to focus on the health of the baby and ride for fun because to me, it was like, I need to let go of that for this period of time. Cause I know my tendency is to overdo it and I'll kill the baby. So I had to like really chill out for a year. So now like the training that I'm doing, I started like mid December. I'm coming back from zero. And so it's so motivating to see the improvement and to feel the fitness coming back and to like constantly my coach is like, well, you improved your FKT by 4 watts, like on accident on an EM ride or something. Well, it wasn't on accident. I went after a QOM. What a heck.
Yeah.
You know, Willow Creek Road.
I do.
Own that road.
Oh, right.
No. It's like really, it's really motivating to like see the improvement coming so fast. And that's also really disappointing because it meant it was going to be so fun to race Leadville coming back from zero. Well, actually Lead Boat because I was signed up to do both.
Right. Yeah. I saw that on your blog. That's yeah. So.
Yeah, that was going to be fun.
Yeah. Well,
that was gonna be
what events were you looking forward to doing most? Cause I'm assuming if you were just like kind of pretty mountain bike focused before, like you haven't done a ton of the gravel, like the gravel specific races yet.
Well, you know, I also own Belgian Waffle Ride. Like,
okay.
I don't think any other female rider in the history of that ride has won all the jerseys 2 years in a row, but I won all 5 jerseys in 2017 and 2018. And I didn't know where the segment started or stopped. I just went.
You just went.
I went back to the wall the whole 130 miles. And then like, you got the Queen of the Sprint jersey. And I was like, wait, where were the sprints?
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. That it sounds just like you.
Well, the thing is, that race is so cool because it was mass start all those years. So like you start with the men. And then my goal was like, I didn't care about anything except for A, stick with the lead group of men and B, come across the line first. But like to me, staying with the lead group of men, like there's like this hairy gravel section in the beginning. And like you come out on the road for the first time at mile 30 or something. And if you're still with the men at that point, like that is a huge accomplishment. Like they're just driving the pace because there's 2,000 people and they're like, we don't want these crazies with us. We're going to go as hard as possible across this crazy, gnarly mountain bike trail on our road bikes. So yeah, I've done Belgian Waffle Ride twice, and I really was looking forward to Belgian Waffle Ride, but I wasn't going to race it. It was going to be too early after the baby was born. I wasn't ready to try to win. So I was going to do it as a challenge. And for every person who beat me, Wind Wax, the chain wax company, was going to donate $1 to Nika. And so that was going to be really fun because I still had to go hard because I didn't want to like let 2,000 people beat me. And then Wynn's like, oh my gosh, now we're bankrupt. We have to go out of business.
Yeah.
I still like, but then like for every man or woman who beat me, they donate $1. And so it's kind of cool. Cause there's a lot of men in Southern California who would get a kick out of beating me. So it's going to be a cool challenge, but that obviously That's didn't awesome. Happen. So really That's the only so things cool. I was looking forward to were Belgian Waffle Ride and Leadville. And then I'm going to backfill my calendar with random things. But like, okay, so here's the other problem or the other problem with this year that is frustrating. Every year I race Leadville, I did like 500 mile mountain bike races over the summer. then Leadville was the last one of the summer. And so by Leadville, I was already burnt out, like not really burnt out. Like my body was probably like, what is wrong with you? And so this year I wasn't going to do that. I was going to do like maybe one race and then do the proper training, not overdo it, and then come into Leadville fresh. And so I'm really bummed because I wanted to see like what my Leadville time would be if I didn't overdo it.
Yeah. Like what was your normal buildup before?
The last time I won it in 2018, I did 500 mile races in 6 weeks. So I did, I did Firecracker 50, which is a 50 mile race at elevation and on a Wednesday, cause it's on 4th of July. And then 2 days later, no, 3 days later, I did Tatanka 100, which is in South Dakota, and it was 100 degrees. So that's two very hard races in 3 days. And then the following weekend I did some other 100 miler. I don't remember the following weekend, some other 100 miler. So I did the Firecracker, the 50 miler, then 400 milers, then took 1 weekend off and then raced Leadville. So all of those,
holy smokes,
that's amazing.
Back to back 100 mile races. And like now when I look back, I'm like, what is wrong with you? But back then I was like, this is normal. Everyone races 100 miles and then a week later does 100 miles again. Not
that
normal.
That is really impressive.
No,
not normal. Not how did you recover?
Stupid.
From
that? It's not impressive. It's stupid. And my poor coach, this is why he's an angel. He never indicated to me at all that he was freaked out about it until after. And he was like, I'm really relieved that you won Leadville because I was really stressed out about you doing all these stupid races. And I wanted to do 100 miler the week before Leadville. I was like, can I please go do Telluride 100? He was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's like the main role of coaches of a lot of endurance athletes is to like save you from yourself. Kind of that's their job. Save you from yourself. Most of the time.
Save you from. Yep. Mm-hmm, that's it. So that's probably why I got rhabdo though, because my body was just so cooked at the end of the season.
Wow. That's insane. That's insane. So
that seriously amazing.
So you think that you'll try to continue one more year then to go back to level?
I have no idea.
Your goal? Yeah, just playing it by ear.
Yeah, well, because we don't even know like if COVID will be around next year. Like we don't know when there'll be a vaccination. True. And to bring like 2,000 people from all over the world into like two blocks of Leadville and say, okay, we're going to start the race. Like you're all surrounded by each other. Like that's such a sketchy situation. I mean, my fingers are crossed. I'm praying that it happens because the town depends on that race so much, but we just, I don't want to plan ahead too much because I don't want to be disappointed. So I'm kind of just taking it day by day.
Well, and also the big concern a lot of these like races have, and I don't know if promoters have thought about it or, but I was talking to Burke Swindlehurst, who runs the Crusher.
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, you know, he's like, honestly, I'm not worried about the racers. Like the racers come and go, but think about the small population that these races start at Leadville or in a small town of Beaver. That town has like four people that work, you know, in like a little Instacare, you know, and if COVID, you know, someone brings COVID in from out of state or something like that to do the race, all of a sudden that little town that doesn't have a lot of resources like Leadville or, you know, where a lot of these races start, it suffers the community a lot, you know, and it's a bummer because also the community relies upon it.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
We're in a tough spot. It's scary. It's a tough spot for sure. And it's sad because I know you want to get out and race like crazy. I want to get out and race like crazy, Tyler. And, you know, we love seeing everyone, friends, camaraderie, and it's just a good time. And so it definitely is sad, but it's good to talk to people like you that are staying positive and motivated and focused on, you know, just
personal challenges. Yeah.
Personal challenges.
It's been a time. I felt that way about Leadville, especially because they depend on that race and like me filling my gas tank and me going and buying groceries or going out to eat, like that helps their economy so much. And I can't even go travel there just to goof off. Like I would go there just to ride my bike if the race was canceled, except for me going there, that just like you said, I don't want to bring COVID to them from the community I'm in now. So
yeah. No, that's, you have to be aware of yourself and aware of what you're doing and aware of what's going on, you know, and not allow the ego to take over and be like, oh, I'm bigger than this or I, you know, it doesn't affect me. Everything affects everyone. Exactly. You know, the rocks affect us. So we need to be always aware of that. But so one thing I like to ask a lot of our guests are, you know, this has been a crazy time, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. You had a baby during this time and it was stressful. It was crazy. What I've picked up a lot of meditation and I've picked up doing a lot of like cold therapy and breath work.
Yeah.
What have you done to, have you done anything to handle stress or, yeah, I know you're someone who's always on the go and going. What have you done to kind of maybe calm yourself or relax yourself or, you know, during this difficult time?
Well, I think that's the other reason why I'm like crazy lucky that I have this baby is because like as a dad, you don't really get this as much because you don't have boobs, but like just every morning and before it was way more often, but like now it's just twice a day. Like every morning, every night, I'm forced to sit and breastfeed this baby for like 15 to 20 minutes. And that, like, I can't look at my phone. I can't read. I can't look at the news. Like I just sit and I mean, I could, but I choose not to, but like, that has been my, like my time to like settle my mind and like to find peace. And like, that to me is the most beautiful thing. Cause every day she's changing and growing and getting bigger. And so it really helps like take the priorities, like whatever stress or whatever disappointment or whatever's happening in the day, just like sitting there with her for 15 to 20 minutes in the morning and at night before she goes to bed and just like, just holding her and watching her eat. Like that is the most amazing meditation. I think I keep thinking like, I need to meditate. I want to get up and meditate in the morning and do yoga. Yeah. And then every day there's no time. Cause even though I'm on summer, I'm still packing my schedule with 7,000 things. And I feel like every day I'm like, I didn't accomplish 20 things on my to-do list because that will always be my life. Cause no matter how unbusy life is, I'll always make it busy. But yeah, that time that I feed her in the morning and the night is the best meditation ever.
Yeah, I love that. I love
that.
So
sorry you don't get to breakfast.
I don't know if you know,
today.
But
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I tried. Nothing happened.
Dang it. I hear you try hard enough to make it work.
Oh my gosh. I didn't try that.
Google
hard,
it.
So. Oh. Well, so real quick, Tyler is just, he's going to be having a baby in October.
Shut up, Noel!
What?
Congratulations! It's the best thing ever!
Yeah.
You're so...
So what
Thank
advice...
You. Yeah, we're
What advice
we're
would
excited.
You give Tyler?
I'm so excited for you, I can't handle it!
Yeah, no, we're stoked. We're... It's gonna be really fun. It's cool now because we can like feel him. Well, we can actually see him moving around even, which is pretty fun.
Yeah. It's so exciting! I want to have another one already.
I know, they're awesome. Oh my gosh, that's awesome! Oh well, Larissa, we are so grateful to have you on today. I think it was such a fun and warming and peaceful conversation.
Wait, were you asking what advice I have for Tyler with a new baby?
Oh, let's hear it.
No,
well,
the first
like 6 weeks, it is as hard as they say it's going to be, but then it just becomes so peaceful. Like, just know that, enjoy the chaos, like enjoy the being awake at night, like watch the cycles of the moon when you're walking the house with the baby that won't sleep, like just enjoy it because it goes away. And then there's so much peace in your life. Like after that first 6 weeks.
Yeah,
that was phenomenal.
That's good to know. My sister-in-law just had one, and they're in that period right now too. So they're like, I think Co's four weeks old now. So yeah, it's been watching them go through like that period where it's just like a little bit chaos. But I'm ready for it. I think, I don't know. I say I'm ready for it. And then,
well, it's even harder for your sister-in-law because they can't like have family come over, or like I had coworkers bringing me meals and like all of that made a big difference. But when it's COVID, like you can't have a new baby exposed to all the random people. So hopefully by October it will be less COVID-y and you can have support from family and friends and stuff. That helps a lot. Like relying on them, like letting someone come over and do your laundry. But I don't like letting go and like letting other people do things, because I'm like, no, you don't do my laundry. That's gross. Like, I'll do my laundry. But then I try to control everything and try to do everything myself, and it was too much. So yeah, you just kind of got to let go and just ride the wave. Oh, that's a good ending, right? Yeah.
Larissa, you crushed that. Yeah. That was awesome. See what
on TJ's theme, yeah.
That was so classic.
That was clever.
Oh my gosh. Well, you have to go here soon, and we're super grateful for all the time you gave today.
I'm grateful for you.
For everyone listening, head on over to Instagram. And what's your Instagram account?
Larissa Connors.
So go check out Larissa Connors on social media. Go give her a follow. She's one of the most positive people you'll meet or follow on social media. And so
thanks, TJ. Thanks for having me. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Have a great day, Larissa. Bye.
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 All right, we just finished a phenomenal episode with Larissa. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Me and Tyler sure loved the conversation. Before we head off, we wanted to update you guys with what we're doing, with what's going on with Tyler, any updates with Legion, his team, how you can follow them, how you can be connected to them. We want to update you with what I have going on with Imaginary Collective, how you can follow me, how you can follow Imaginary Collective. We just want to keep you guys updated, you know. So, Tyler, let us know what's going on.
Well, I finally won Zwift Race.
Nice.
I don't know if anyone saw that on my Instagram. I did like an IGTV for it. That was sweet. I was pretty stoked because I've been getting my butt kicked on there for a while now. So, to finally win one was pretty neat. The Virtual Joe Martin, Stage 2. And then actually Stage 3, I was pretty close. I just, it was so hard. It was like one of the hardest Zwift races I've ever done. It was really, really, really tough. But it was cool. It was on the Richmond World Course. Brought back a little bit of memories. Some struggle memories also. But yeah, it was fun. Outside of that, just another week of coronavirus. So we're just training a little bit. And hopefully we'll have... Well, you know, we'll see what events happen. Probably going to be more Zwift racing before real racing. But and then the big news is today. Well, today is Friday, or no, today's Thursday, the 26th, or no, it's Friday the 26th.
Friday,
yeah, it's Friday. See, this is coronavirus for you. Friday the 26th. That Rafa is dropping the Legion supporters kit that you can buy on their. On the Rafa website. It's like a replica jersey. It has a little bit of a different design, but it's meant to be like the supporter kit for the team. You can buy it, and the proceeds of that kit go directly to the funding of the team. So if you want to support the team, that is how you can do it. Go get the supporter kit. It's launching today. So that's the big news for today.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, go check out Tyler. Go check out Lee. For me, this week, it's just another week riding my bike, been out training, mountain biking. Otherwise, just like Tyler said, we're kind of up in the air with knowing what our race schedule is looking like. For Imaginary Collective right now, we have a whole lot of cool merchandise on our website. So if you want to go, you know, head over to Imaginary Collective, go pick up some rad merchandise. We got some coffee cups, some t-shirts, some cozy fleece, and some awesome camper hats. So we're all about that camping lifestyle, all about getting out, enjoying life while riding. So these are a few select items we picked to choose that, you know, kind of we feel that is all you need, you know. So thanks again, guys, for another great week and another awesome episode. We're sure enjoying all these, and we're enjoying all your guys' feedback and comments. So please keep them coming. They're helping us grow and get better as podcasters. And thanks again for listening to The Next Stage.
Catch
you guys later.
Have a good week.
Bye.